I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, it's time to talk a little bit about some Bucs quarterbacks. We also have your mailbag questions coming up, answered 100% correctly, or, and this is key, your money back. But first, I did a story on Michael Penix Jr. And his performance at the Combine, and I want to touch on that a little bit in this context. You know, as we do this podcast, you know, on Wednesday night, at this moment anyway, Baker Mayfield, and I think until the foreseeable morning, is unsigned, right? So no agreement yet with Baker Mayfield and the Bucs. Yes, they are talking. I assume they're making some progress. I don't know how close really or far apart they are. I would say this, and you know, Steve, far be it for me to knock down other people's reporting because I'm the guy that everybody knocks down my reporting. But from my information, and you have to assume or trust that, having done this for a while, I don't just take stuff from anybody, right? It's got to be someone involved at some level with negotiations, usually on one or both sides preferably. But in this case, both sides. And all I can say is this, like, there were some numbers thrown out there about Baker Mayfield's initial proposal of being some $44 million a year. Unless Tom Mills is the best poker player in the face of the earth, because I actually was with him at the Pro Bowl and we discussed a bunch of things, $44 million was never even a hope or a wish, okay, per year. I find it impossible to believe that number was ever floated. In fact, Mills denies it vehemently. And I don't think the Bucs would put stuff out in any case, right? That's just not what they do. They don't negotiate in the media. But I can tell you this, as far as what I believe the Bucs' position is, and it had to be a discussion because they needed to determine what they were going to do with their franchise player tag. And of course they had Mike Evans, they had Antoine Winfield Jr. who ended up getting it, and then Baker. And so you had to look at all three of those situations. Antoine Winfield Jr. essentially got it because it was only $17.2 million. When I say only, I mean it's a number they could fit under their salary cap. For Baker Mayfield, I think, just if memory serves, the franchise value was some $37, $38 million a year on a one-year deal. I can tell you with some certainty that $38 million a year wasn't going to sticker shock anybody. Now, do I think that ultimately if he signs a 2 or 3 year deal that it's going to be $38 million average? No, I don't. I think it might be south of that even. But I don't know how far south, right? Because here's the thing. If you're trying to work towards the middle, if you think Baker Mayfield, if you're his representative and or the Bucs, and you think Baker Mayfield is a top 12 to 15 quarterback in the NFL, which, you know, look at the numbers last year, when healthy, his first year with the Bucs, that's right where he was. Okay. 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, all that. So if you think that's where he is, well, you know, Dak Prescott's in the final year of his deal. He's going to sign, his next deal is probably going to be $60 million with a six. Because the salary cap goes up every year and therefore so do the salaries. Same is true with Trevor Lawrence. What is a franchise quarterback going to cost the Jacksonville Jaguars? So, you know, you got to look at this in terms of, you know, where are we now? And of course, everybody wants to bring up, you know, the contract that they signed with the Giants in Jones. And I mean, he obviously didn't earn that. He was going around telling people he wanted 45, he got 40, whatever. And I know Matthew Stafford, that's kind of Matthew Stafford money. And currently 45 or so is what Dak money is. But those numbers are all going up. And So, you know, you pay on past performance, but you also, as an agent or a team, you have to look at, you know, what are the other deals that are in the pipeline that are likely to raise these, okay? And they all build on top of each other that way. So, again, I'm not part of the negotiations. I don't know what talks they're having. I don't know ultimately where it's going to come in at. I would imagine it's going to be around $40 million, probably south of it for sure. But how far south? Is it 30? Is it 33? And again, what's the structure? We just saw this with Mike Evans where it was reported by the agent as 2 years, $56 million or $52 million. You're like, wow, you know, that makes him the fourth highest paid receiver in annual average salary in the league, except that that's not what it was. In real money, it was 2 years, $20.5 million a year, which is only $500,000 more than what Chris Godwin makes. So the devil is in the details, okay? Forget about how it's reported. But as far as, like, you know, Mayfield's representatives or Baker saying, I need 44 or large, that's not happened to my knowledge. And I mean that on both sides. I don't necessarily think that he's trying to price himself out. First of all, what would be his leverage? Well, I'm going to go test free agency. Okay, let's do that. Where are you going? I have no idea. All right. So you have to assume, right, that the Atlanta Falcons are looking at the free agent market as well as maybe a trade for Justin Fields or something else or drafting a quarterback. So if you're talking about Atlanta, the number one choice, it would appear, and I think it might be the choice for Kirk Cousins as well, is Cousins. Now, there was one report that he's moving his family to Atlanta. I don't know if that's coincidental or not. But if Cousins were to leave Minnesota, okay, so now you have a market in Minnesota potentially. But I don't know what the Vikings think of Baker Mayfield. But let's say they were to lose Kirk Cousins. What if they don't lose him? What if Atlanta decides to either draft a quarterback or make a deal for Justin Fields? And then you still have Russell Wilson out there who's going to make absolutely nothing from his new team and all the money from his old team. He has an offset. So basically he can play for the league minimum, just a little over $1 million. And I don't think Russell Wilson is done playing winning football. I mean, I know he didn't fit what Sean Payton wanted from him. And 2 years ago, he wasn't very good, obviously. But, you know, even though he was benched last year, he was still, what, like, I don't know, 26-8, you know, something like that, like 26 touchdowns, 27 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Like, his numbers weren't horrible. He can still spin it. It's just whether you can put him in the right system with your coordinator and the right players around him to make him win football games. But there's options, and Baker is one of those options. But you're still talking about a guy that's been with four teams in about 2 years, you know. And all I know is this, is that Baker Mayfield found a home here, you know, and that matters to him. He not only found a home, but he has a new lease on his career. And the devil you know is better than the one you don't sometimes. So he, you know, he went to Carolina. He was actually dealt there. And that just didn't work out because there was a lot of things going on in and around the franchise, obviously, that he couldn't control. He didn't play particularly well. He didn't get there till, you know, training camp. There was no off season. And it was a bad situation. He does not want to jump back into that. You know, what he knows is going to matter to him, I think. And, you know, having Mike Evans is going to matter to him. Having Antoine Winfield Jr. back is going to matter to him, and so on. So they got Liam Cohen. They got guys. You know, everything is set up for him to walk back in here. It's just money, right? And I'm not minimizing, like, this is what these guys do for their livelihoods, and Baker played for a way below market value last year. But I don't think he's going to hold them up either. I don't think he's going to walk in with, a ski mask and stick them up for something. That doesn't sound like Baker to me. In fact, he made a comment after the season, I think right after the final game, where he said, look, we all understand, you know, where we are as a team, and we're all going to have to sacrifice, knowing how many free agents there were, we're all going to have to sacrifice a little bit, you know, to stay together and try to win this thing. And so, you know, that was his mentality after they lost to Detroit. I don't think it's changed much. So I don't know, Steve. There just seems to be, you know, I know there's, again, you know, everybody has their, according to my sources and all that, but there seems to be this idea that, you know, Baker is going to want $40 million in Tampa Bay. It'd be nice. I'm not saying he'd turn it down. I just don't think that it's that at any point the agent or anybody else thought that was realistic.
No, I mean, that's a number you go, hey, about 44. That'll work.
I know. It's, yeah.
Look, this is the cable news syndrome.
It is.
You got 24/7 to fill, and there's nothing to fill for the next 2 weeks.
Right. Let me update you on the negotiations. Really, so yeah. Right. Yeah, let me tell you how it's going. Let me take the temperature here. Here's what I hear.
Everybody's got sources, which are all the same, you know, Twitter handles.
It's true.
Making stuff up.
It's true. And, you know, even some radio guys want to jump in the fray, and they're rarely right. So, you know, I'm just saying. But if that were the case, I guess he was supposed to be signed yesterday. Look, I want him signed yesterday. I want them all done. I told Greenberg the other day, I go, can you just knock out these last few deals by the weekend and just be out of money? Because that's always the best time, right? It's like, okay, here's the thing. There's still free agents out there, but they have no more money. So they can't spend it anymore. So it's like, yeah, we're done. We're done for the foreseeable future until the bargains come, you know, after the draft or more guys get released or whatever. And they still have work to do. I mean, look, even after if they were to get Baker, they still have to do Chase McLaughlin. They still have to do Levante David, who's on a media tour, by the way. I wish you'd call me. And, you know, they got other guys to take care of. And I still think they have contracts that they have to renegotiate. They may even trade a player. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of moves they could still make, you know, to get their salary cap house in order. But the priority right now, of course, is getting a quarterback, and they've done everything they need to do short of just paying them. And that's what they're talking about now. They're talking about, and you know, if you've made $6 million last year, you kind of like to make up for that because you certainly outperformed your deal. But by the same token, I mean, you're going to make upwards of $30 plus million. That's a fairly hefty raise. I mean, that's about what you've made the first 4 years of your entire, or 5 years of your entire career. You know, that you're going to make in one season. So
that's the kind of raise we deserve for this podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, I want a 500% raise. I mean, that's we're going to have a chat about that with all the people that listen and enjoy it and, you know, the advertisers and all that. I'm not negotiating on the radio or on the podcast, but I guess I am right now.
Well, I'll put it out there. I'd like $44 million.
Okay, well, how about we split the $44 million if we get it? I'll work for 22. I mean, you could take the lead.
I guess I could slough it for that.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to take a little more than the 22, that's fine, but I'll take whatever's left. But yeah, it's interesting. Now, what is interesting about it is this, that just to spin this forward a little bit, okay? Now, let's say, because here's the great unknown. We don't know. What if they can't get a deal, right? And he enters free agency, or he enters the legal tampering period, which I hate that. It's really the negotiating period, if you will. The illegal tampering period happened up in Indianapolis weeks ago,
and it's still
or a week ago. But yeah, but the actual, you know, where they can make deals and all that, that's March 11th, okay, which is also my wife's birthday. So be nice if they didn't make any deals that day, but they always do. Okay, so that aside, you got 3 days where you can come in with and talk to other players. Reach an agreement. They can't sign until 4 p.m. on the 13th. But if Baker is still unsigned and not under wraps here by March 11th and not that close, then he's going to go out there. And let's say, for argument's sake, that he doesn't come back. Well, we know this about Jason Light and Bruce Arians and everybody else. They already know who they think they got behind door number two, right? That's how they got Tom Brady. And so what are their options? Well, we talked about the other free agents, right? Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins, assuming he's still out there. I don't know that either one of those necessarily makes sense. Maybe Russ to some degree, I suppose.
Russ does from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, because he's the cheapest. I mean, he's basically, you're paying him minimum salary. That's all being paid by the Denver Broncos. But even having said that, the first person they're going to look at is Kyle Trask. And they're going to sell you and as a staff and say, we really think that Kyle has a bright future. And even though, you know, he was behind Tom Brady, that's unfortunate. He was never going to play. And you know what? Last year's contest, I'm just telling you now, that was really close. That came down to the wire. He was right in it. He was right there. We could have gone 1A. We got, you know what? We got quarterback 1A and 1B. And that's been said, by the way, in the room over there at One Buck Place by people talking to their offensive coordinator candidates. They were told, we look at Kyle Trask as 1B. Okay. Well, 1B would then become 1A. And I think that they would push Kyle out there and just say, let's see what we got, man. You know? And now, would they stop there? No. I mean, you still have John Wolford, obviously. And Wolford also is familiar with Liam Cohen, who was with the Rams. And this is the big part, they may do this anyway. And I think it's a smart thing to do. I don't know if I would do it with a 26th overall pick with the needs I have. But if somehow Baker, they felt they were going to lose him, the draft now becomes a big deal. And in particular, a quarterback they love. And unfortunately, Bruce Arians has told everybody they love this guy, and that's Dade City's own Michael Penix Jr. And I wrote a story about him in the Tampa Bay Times on TampaBay.com. Look, he lit it up at the combine, and it was important because the other guys in front of him, and it's a great quarterback class, but Caleb Williams from USC, Jaden Daniels from LSU, Drake May from Carolina, none of those guys worked out. They all opted not to work out, okay? They're going to have their pro days, whatever, coming down the road, all right? So Penix was all too willing and, you know, had a chance to help his cause and did, because he was one of the few that competed along with J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, who we can talk about, and a couple others. So Penix put on a show. I mean, the one thing the guy has is a beautiful stroke. You know, he's left-handed, and sometimes that bothers certain offensive coordinators I've known in the past. But he can throw the deep ball. And Bruce Arians said that he throws the ball down the field better than any quarterback he's seen coming out into the draft in 15 years. Now, that's the no biscuit, no risk it guy. He knows a deep ball when he sees one, right? So I think he helped his stock. We talked about it going into it that the thing for Penix that was going to be difficult is trying to figure out what the medicals say, right? Because that, you know, that's what the combine, it really began and is biggest use is for getting, you know, all those x-rays that get your doctors to examine these guys. And Penix has had, you know, when he was in Indiana, two torn ACLs, he had a shoulder injury, you know, he came back from that. And that's the good news. And I'd asked Jason Light, you know, when it comes down between the medical and the film, what are you relying more on? And he goes, well, you know, obviously we're going to listen to our doctors. He said, but the film says whether or not, you know, how he's doing. And how he's doing is really well because he lit it up last year and got him all the way to the national championship game. And he said that, you know, I wanted to prove that I'm healthy. And he also said that he really hasn't gotten a lot of questions or people questioning sort of how he's doing, because he says, you know, the big reason why I came back for the last season was to have another fully healthy season and show that I'm ready to compete and do it at the next level. He said, at this point, I can't control if there's still a question about my injury history, but I think I put it all out in the field. So you got a little bit of a Teddy Bridgewater feel to him, you know, somewhat like, whoa, that next hit could be the last one. But really, every quarterback is one hit away.
Brock Heward, I heard him this evening on Colin Cowherd.
Yeah.
And Brock does radio in Seattle.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's seen a lot of Michael Penix Jr. for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And says, you know, I don't worry about the injuries. You know, what he has proven the last 2 years was that he can protect mm-hmm. himself.
That's a great point.
He says, but what I worry about is in that national championship game, he got beat up.
Yes, he did. And it affected him.
He went in the tent late in the game. I'm like, come out of that tent. Come out of that tent. You can't stay in that tent. You know.
Yeah.
And he said, Jake Browning, who's a quarterback, played for the Bengals a few games this year because Joe Burrow was hurt.
Yeah, he did a nice job.
Yeah, and he was talking to his, I think, his college coach after the season. And he said, yeah. That Monday soreness, a lot worse than that Sunday soreness in college.
That's a great quote. That's a great quote.
He says, they beat you up in the NFL.
Yeah, they do. They like, really do.
You know, and so he could protect himself in college.
Yeah, yeah.
So the worry is, can he do it in the pros? And Brock wasn't saying it's negative, just but he said, look, I don't worry about the injuries because he's proven for 2 years now that he can protect himself.
Yeah.
But that national championship game, you went, ooh, that's an NFL defense you went up against.
Yeah, it was. They had a lot of big boys that hit you really hard. Yep. And it did. I think it did affect how he threw the ball, how he stood in there, his mechanics, like all of that. And that'll be an adjustment. And it's something to watch because you're right. He cannot, you know, I've seen him run like more than I was comfortable of watching mm-hmm. him run last year. But he always got down. He always yep. seemed to get down and protect himself and knew yep. when the journey was over. That's something Baker Mayfield needs to learn, by the way. Because I tell you,
Josh Allen needs to learn that.
Josh Allen. Oh, my God. Yeah. But at least in Josh Allen's case, you almost feel like he's going to hurt the other guy.
You do, but one of these times.
Yeah. He's just, but somebody's going to get him. And yeah, so Josh Allen is a good example. But, and I've talked to Thad Lewis about this and others. It's like, yeah, you know what? Last year, Baker took a lot of unnecessary hits, you know? And everybody, you know, the offensive linemen, like they all love it and get fired up when, you know, he stiff arms a guy or whatever. And that's great. But don't be a hero out there. Because at the end of the year, if you remember, the hit he takes against the New Orleans Saints from the Honey Badger is and he messes up his ribs. That was a serious, serious injury. Very few quarterbacks, I think, would have played the next week, and he did not play well the next week. But they managed to win the game, and then he got a little better, but he had, you know, knee injuries. He came out of the game and against the Colts. He had various things go on with him last year, and most of it was from hits that he didn't necessarily need to take. You know, it's one thing to stand in there, deliver the ball down the field, but if you're running around and you have the ability to get down or get out of bounds, you don't need to take guys on. I know it fires up your offensive linemen, your defense, all that. That's great, but don't be a hero. And I think Baker needs to learn that. And I think Michael Penix, it's in the forefront of his mind, obviously, when you've been through what he's been through with two ACLs. I mean, the mental grind of that is incredible to me, that to do that once and then come back and then do it again, that shows a lot of desire to play, right?
And
shows
and
a lot
two shoulders in between there, too.
And two shoulders, that's right. I mean, he got beat the hell up, and he came back from all of it. So he has resilience. He certainly has an unbelievable love for the game, or he wouldn't have tried to come back that many times. But Penix is a real option for them, and I don't know that he'll make it to 26, but then maybe he makes it further than that. I mean, at some point, once you get past the first four, maybe five quarterbacks, these other teams have other needs, and there's a lot of good football players in this draft. I mean, it's outstanding at the receiver position. It's outstanding on the offensive line, probably the best offensive line as a group, you know, just in terms of its depth that we've had. And I think a big part of that, Steve, is we talk about this all the time. That COVID year allowed a lot of these guys to play a long time in college. They played a lot of games.
Absolutely. A lot of six-year guys.
Yeah. And I think that's made, as a whole, that's probably made this group better because of the experiences that they had and the more games they played. Certainly that helped Michigan win a national championship and all that.
Well, they have six guys at the combine from the offensive line.
Yeah. Well, they had, 18 total.
Yeah, but they had six offensive linemen.
Six. More than you only play five. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, geez. So, yeah, all those guys are good players. But it'll be interesting to see sort of what direction they go. And obviously, you know, I think their biggest need, if I was – and we'll get into the draft some other time, but – to me, the biggest need they have is an edge rusher because you lose Shaq Barrett, right? You don't know. You really haven't gotten anything out of Joe Tryon for 4 years or going on 4 years. It looks like Yaya Diaby is going to be the real deal, which is cool. But you just can't have enough of those guys that can pressure the quarterback. It's all about affecting the quarterback or helping him. And
well, the more you can pressure with those four up front instead of scheming.
That's a great point because they got pressure, they got sacks, but how did they do it? They had to bring blitzes, and that's what Todd Bowles would prefer not to do. You know, any coach would prefer not to do that. He still has them in his tool bag, but you know, you don't have to go to him. You know, if you always, if that's the only way you can get pressure, then, you know, you're going to give up a lot of big plays. So, but it'll be interesting to see, just, you know, what that number comes in at with Baker Mayfield. I'm still of the belief, I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but I still think it's more likely than not that Baker ends up right back here. You just don't get many situations where a guy, that has been as many places as he's been, in longing for stability in a franchise that wants him back for obvious reasons, that doesn't get done. You know, it seems to me you would meet in the middle somewhere, and make sure that, everybody is comfortable with, maybe they don't get everything they want, but the one thing they both get is another crack at this. You know, they get another season with familiarity with the receivers. You got Mike Evans back. So much has gone right for Baker that I don't think he'd want to risk something going wrong, but we'll see. We'll find out. All right, we got time for a couple of mailbag questions we'll get to here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you guys that for the past 14 years now, the Skill Pros of May Electric Solar, they've been installing solar energy systems all throughout the state of Florida. They provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Well, now May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That's right. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, electrical equipment, and replacement is covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar. It's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners also with no fee. This is not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation and their history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com. All right, we got some mailbag questions here. Time for those. A couple before we get out of here. Let's get started.
Brian asks, what position along the offensive line do you think the Bucs will address either through free agency or the draft?
It's a great question. So their offensive line, I think, is intact, obviously, at the tackle position. I think Luke Getteke made a really solid transition back to his natural position of right tackle. And then, of course, Tristan Wirfs made a seamless transition from right tackle to left tackle, where he was, you know, a Pro Bowler again. And for my money, if he stays at that position, which he will, you know, I still think he's going to put on a gold jacket one day. I thought they were pretty happy with Cody Mauch, who they got a year ago, who's also converting from tackle to play inside at guard. The spot that they don't really have a body right now is the left guard spot, which is next to Tristan, and that's where Aaron Stinney was. Now, Aaron Stinney's a free agent. Could they re-sign him? They could. I don't know that he played that great. He played, you know, better than Matt Feeler did, but I still think that they could use a better offensive guard there. And or, and I'll just throw this out there, if there's a center either in free agency, and one was released just the other day, but if there's a center in free agency or the draft, I wouldn't be opposed to replacing Robert Hainsey. And for that matter, Hainsey could move to guard himself, so you could utilize him maybe at a different position. But right now, Hainsey is their starting center, and they do have sort of a hole at guard. So I think that's the way they're going to go.
All right, Les asks, we'll switch sports here. Rick, what are your Rays predictions for this year? I have them winning 92 games, but not winning the division. I also see another first-round exit, as I don't see any improvements on postseason run production. Tell me where I'm wrong.
You might be wrong about the 92 games. I don't know, man.
Rick says 100 losses.
They're not going to lose. I'm never going there again. I will never go there again because Kevin Cash has proven me to be a liar every time I try to say they're gonna have a bad season. Here's what I think, as Peter King would say back when he used to work for NBC Sports and SI. I think the Baltimore Orioles are so loaded that I don't think anyone's touching them in the division this year. I just have this feeling they have a young team. They got studs everywhere. They've added to it. I think it's going to be really hard. And then, you know, you always have the Yankees, right? And the Blue Jays can bash and all. I mean, there's really no team that's maybe the Red Sox that aren't quite there yet. But this AL East, make no mistake, man. I mean, you know, Soto now in the Yankees. It's going to be really tough. And to me, they've won 90, it seems like, every year for the last 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been. Even won 100 recently. But 92, I mean, it's going to be around there, I guess. 90, 92, 89. I mean, I don't think they're going to win the division either. I do think they'll make the playoffs. And at some point, the whole idea is if you make the playoffs enough times, then one time you're going to get hot. You're going to be playing well. Something's going to click, and you're going to advance. And maybe it's just winning a series, or, you know, winning that first wild card series, whatever it is. But they've got to get over the hump, you know, in the postseason. And I've not seen them do that for a number of years now. But man, it just seems if you keep getting there over and over again, at some point it's going to break through. Guys are going to get hot, hit the ball at the right times, pitch well. They certainly can play defense. So I don't know that maybe – I think maybe this is the year they could win a series. Maybe it's just the 2 out of 3. I'm not really sure. But they need to show that advancement. They need to show if they get to the postseason, which is not a given, but certainly it's been what they've done. Of late, and if they get there, they need to at least show progress in the postseason, which would be a series win. But
well, isn't that why you always say when you get there, you better win it?
And well, that's the thing.
They got there 4 years ago.
That's right. That's not the game you can lose. I mean, and we go back to, you know, what game was it? Game 5, Blake Snell on the mound.
Game 6. Which
game 6.
When they were eliminated.
Yeah,
had they won, that would have forced a game 7.
That would have been interesting. Blake Snell, by the way, how are you still a free agent? Because your agent is demanding $1 billion? Where's he going?
Good question. I
wonder where he's going. He could go to Baltimore. Wouldn't that be something?
He could go anywhere he wants, really.
Yeah, he pays. 2-time Cy Young Award winner, yeah. About a 1 ERA after the first month of the season or something. It's crazy.
Well, he struggled early and then got hot late.
Yeah, but he got hot and stayed hot.
They were talking about, hey, you could trade for Blake Snell this season.
Yeah.
Because he did so poorly at the beginning of last year.
It didn't last long, though. I think it was like maybe a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he didn't give up anything. I mean, anything after that. So, but yeah, put me down for the Rays. Put me down for 90. How about that?
All right. And they're in the Dominican Republic this weekend.
That's right. They are.
Maybe they're going to look for Wander.
Oh, man. You couldn't help yourself. Wouldn't that be great if, like, you know, all charges are dropped and he just walks up to the plate? Uniform on. I'm back. It's good. It's all good. Take me back on a plane with you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lewis asks, it's trade deadline for the Bolts this week. We have Sergachev's LTIR money, but to sweeten the pot. What could Julian Brisebois do? Who could be a casualty who that could sweeten the pot to make a move for Hanifin or a two-way forward? Now, since this question's been put in,
Hanifin's on his way to Vegas, night. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the Lightning made a trade on Wednesday. They got Adam Henrique from the Ducks and immediately traded him to the Oilers. It's actually part of a three-way trade.
Mm-hmm.
They got a draft pick from 2025, a fourth rounder, or a fifth rounder. It could become a fourth. And exchange, they're eating 20, 20 or 25% of Henrique's salary. So they have some LTIR money from Sergachev, and they've chose to use it to get a draft pick back, some of it, and eat salary, which the Lightning have done that in the past the other way. The Detroit Red Wings ate, what, a half or quarter of David Savard's salary when Julian Breezeball traded for David Savard and got a draft pick out of it. And other teams do this. I was a little surprised to see the Lightning do that instead of using the LTIR money. And granted, there's still LTIR money. They could still make a move. But they use some of it to get a future draft pick back, not assets that can help this year. So as you're listening to this, you've got the trade deadline's Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern. You know, will Julian Breezeball even make a move now?
I mean, I think he might. I don't know. I mean, I was reading Eduardo's story, and he said there's still some guys out there. Nashville defenseman, Alexandre Carrier, however he pronounces it. Washington, Joel Edmondson is still available. 1 year remaining on their contracts. We'll see. Would it surprise you if he stood pat and did nothing?
It would have a week ago. After seeing that trade today, it wouldn't.
Well, I mean, but you had an $8 million sort of, you know, unexpected windfall because of Sergachev.
Yeah. But do you have enough assets to get those deals done?
Well, maybe not. Yeah.
You know, and that's part of that's all part of it too. It does take two.
That's part of it. Yeah.
One thing, just say we got $8.5 million. Let's bring it on.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be interesting what Julian does the next day and a half here. Not what I expected a week ago.
No matter what they do, I'm not sure anybody's beating Florida. You know.
Yeah, you said that last year about Boston. You said
I know.
Four or five years ago about the
That's
Lightning.
That's why you play the games. I realize that, yeah.
It's great to be the best team in February, March.
And it doesn't mean anything, does it?
Lightning did it a few years ago.
And even home ice doesn't mean anything because you're one win on the road away from turning that around. So that's what I love about – the one thing I love about the playoffs is that, you know, everybody has the same days in between, right?
Yep.
You know whether you're going to be home or away. You go back and forth. Like it's – there's a kind of a leveling out, if you will, of what does not happen in the regular season. And there's also sort of figuring out the other team and how they play and what adjustments you can make. And that's where coaching is so important and – you know, which lines to juggle and so on. So there's a lot of strategy to it. It's cool. We're not that far away. How many games they got left?
19. They play tonight, so there'll be 18 after tonight. They host Calgary.
Oh, yeah. We're below 20. This is going to be a blink. Of course, they're so spread out. They're going Thursday, Saturday these next 2 weeks, right?
That's correct, yeah. The regular season for them ends April 17th. The league ends April 18th. So.
Yeah. So... those other teams have to have some game in hand, but like we said earlier, they have to win them all to really make a dent.
And baseball's opening day is 3 weeks from today.
That's unbelievable. I can't wait. It's still unbelievable. Do you know who the Rays open with, by the way? Are they home? Are they away? I haven't even looked at the schedule. Like
they're home.
They're home?
Hold on. I'll look it up here. Sorry. I don't remember.
Probably shouldn't have asked that question on the air.
I'm going to edit it. Don't worry. I got you. They're home against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Nice. Okay.
Four-game series, Thursday through Sunday.
That'll be a lively one. There'll be some bats swung in that one. I can promise you that.
And all the home games this year for weeknights at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are 6:50 starts.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Not 6:40 in the past, but 6:50. They've moved it back 10 minutes.
Well, to move it back 10 minutes, you got the pitch clock. You might be in bed by 9:30, 10 o'clock with the kiddos.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a great thing, actually. I'm all for it. I don't need to stay up till midnight watching these games. So, yeah, start them as early as you want. That's cool. All right. Well, we'll have more of your mailbag questions tomorrow. If you want to send them in, you certainly can for Friday's show, but do that by sending them to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB. Reach me on Twitter at NFLStroud. Or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. Check out the Tampa Bay Times and tampabay.com for the latest on Baker Mayfield's $44 million contract. Now, I don't know if that's what he's going to get. It seems a little high to me, but what do I know?
I got a chuckle out of that.
Yeah, I know you did. But we'll, you know, we'll have all the latest comings and goings there in free agency, and we're getting all so close to that magical March 13th date when, or actually March 11th date, when they can negotiate contracts with other teams, and or March 13th at 4 p.m. when the new league year starts and they can sign them, which will be interesting. On Friday, by the way, just a little before we get out of here, Mike Evans will have his press conference after having signed his new deal. And that'll be at the Advent Health Care Center at noon. If you
will, Baker Mayfield be in attendance?
Wouldn't that be awesome? You know what would be the coolest thing? Seriously, I've thought about this. If Mike wants to share the stage. So you start the Mike Evans press conference, yeah, right? And everything's going well, and they're firing questions at Mike, and he's getting questions about Baker. And then all of a sudden he goes, you know what, guys? I'm tired of answering these questions about Baker Mayfield. Let's just bring him on in here. And Baker walks in and announces he signed a new deal in the place, you know.
No, even better. Like, Baker walks in and signs the contract in front of
him. In front of him. Yes. There you go. See, what they need is a good marketing person over there. That's what I'm – nothing against whoever their marketing people are. I don't know. But that would make some headlines, right? That loosens some things up. That Baker's like throwing the ball across the room, you know, at Mike, and I don't know.
That'd be tremendous.
Could take it as far as we want, but yeah. – Anyway, yeah, it may well be done by then. I don't know if they're going to have a two-man press conference or not, but at least Mike Evans will be there at noon on Friday, so look forward to that. All right, thanks for listening. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.